Hello, everyone. This is Miss Krista, and you have found Kinks and Drinks. What do you have? Well, tonight's special is going to be a little bit of boot blacking and some shampooing. You can find us every Saturday night here on the Discord server. We're on a new platform from now on. But you must be 21 or older to partake. You can listen to the replay every Sunday on your favorite podcast platforms. That's still going to happen. I will be uploading it to a new service, and it will go everywhere. But the best place to find the replay is on my site, phonesexfetishblog.com, under the Kinks and Drinks tab, because I put so much extra stuff on there that you don't get from just going and listening to the podcast. Hello, Callie. Hello, Maud. Hello, Demi Owns Me. Potato. Dakota. I love seeing you in the room as well. Nice to see you. Oh, shit. Sorry, guys. We had a malfunction. Let's go ahead and close that for now. So, anyway, tonight we're going to be talking about boot blacking and shampooing. Now, both of these fall under what they consider a paraphilia. And what paraphilia is an intense, persistent, and unconventional sexual arousal or attraction to objects, situations, or activities not typically associated with sexual activity, often including legal consenting human partners. So, basically, anything that does not fall under our Puritan fuckheads' idea of sex is paraphilia. So, boot blacking is actually a form of retifism or shoe fetishism. It is a sexual attraction to shoes, boots, or footwear, often involving arousal from seeing them worn as distinct objects of desire. However, the more defined version of boot blacking is, it is a fetish to where you want to keep your master's boots and leather, not just boots, all leather, in tip-top, very functioning, very clean, very visually aesthetic condition. That's what the basis of boot blacking is. However, it does go into a lot of subcultures in the BDSM world. And is my volume good? Can everybody hear me well? Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure the volume was in a good place. All right. So, with boot blacking, well, actually, you know what? Before I get too deep into boot blacking, I am going to share something else right quick. I am going to share tonight's drink. And I have to give 100% of the props to Mott. He helped come up with the name of the drink. He helped name it Leather and Lather. And it is a delicious drink. It is 2 ounces of Blavod black vodka. That's a mouthful. Unlike little penises. Yeah, I said that. 1 ounce of fresh lime juice, 1/4 ounce of simple syrup, and 4 to 6 blackberries muddled. And what that is that you put them in a little cup and you just take a little muddler and you squeeze, you crush them and get them all fun. And you put that in there as well. And the foam that you see at the top, that is egg whites. And it's not much, just enough to get it to do the foam, and you don't taste it. It's not like you're drinking eggs or raw eggs. You will never taste. It's just a foamy deal at the top. But I found the easiest way to do that is to use a frother, and it'll foam it up real nice. And you, after you top it with your club soda, you just put that over it. It's basically for effect. That's what it is. And then I took some dark berry gummies and just run them through a grater, and that's what the garnish is. And this is a very, very delicious drink, by the way. I'm drinking it right now. So now that we got the drink out of the way, and I don't know, most of you might want to look into it because it is a fun drink and it does taste good. And that Blavod black vodka is black, and that's what gives it that good black color too. So now on to the boot blacking. As I was saying, this fetish, and this is for Callie, by the way, this part of the show is all Callie. It is the fetish of wanting to care for a dominant's leather wear, be it boots, be it chaps, leather whips, leather paddles, vests, the leather hats. Everything falls under the boot blacking. And Callie says, I've heard of a strange Aussie thing called a shoey where they drink a beer out of a shoe. You know, when I was in Australia, I actually witnessed that at one of the little Australian pubs and thought it was the nastiest thing I've ever seen in my life. But that's just me. I don't really want to drink a beer out of a shoe. It just does not sound very appetizing or very refreshing. So now, as a boot black, you are expected to keep the leather of all the different leathers immaculate. It is part of your duty as a sub. This is a very distinct subculture of leather and BDSM. And basically, you can be punished severely if you do not do your job correctly with said leather. I have read of masters giving their subs the business with the actual boot sometimes, spanking them with the boot, doing all kinds of things like that. The culture is also that of showing your complete submittal by preparing and taking care of all of the leather goods. And now it's a lot of what I read is masters, males. But I did find a couple of things. You know me and your mistresses, and me being a hybrid mistress, of course, I'm going to find some things. This also would be something that Ottoman would absolutely love, and that is the care and cleaning of your mistress's heels as well. So I am going to now go into here. I found a couple of little things about this, and some of it was really interesting how it came about. Boot blacking, actually, from what I read, and You know, sources on the internet can be hinky from time to time. Not Mr. Hinky or Mr. Hanky or whatever his name is, but they can be hinky. They can be strange. They can be off. But anyway, the first thing I read is back in the 1800s in France, in Paris, their sewage removal was not the best in the world. So these entrepreneurial poor peasants started building these little wooden crates that acted as bridges. And it would allow them to cross over where the sewage was running through the streets to keep them from getting icky. And eventually, that progressed into them cleaning if they had stepped in something that was icky. That's how the boot blacking actually started. That's where the shoe shine kind of started. And then, you know, businessmen, back in the day, they walked through the streets, and streets were not paved. They were just dirt and mud. So when it rained, their boots and their shoes would get nasty. And thus, the Shoeshine Boys started. I think there's a band. Well, if it is, they suck. But anyway, not my kind of music. So, and road apples, yes. That can, but you know, you could see the road apples. And you can avoid those. It's really hard to avoid if the streets are filled with just ickiness or mud from the rain or that kind of stuff back then. So then I find that it was like in the 90s, it really became a big thing for subbies that were into the leather culture of the BDSM. That's when it really started getting to where they were the boot blackers. They actually started taking care of all of the leather and taking care of their masters, footwear, belts, chaps. And you know, I think if you went back to the 80s, that's when the leather assless chaps was really big for the, you know, the leather scene. And a lot of the gay bars were filled with that that image of the biker guy from the YMCA song. But back in the 90s is kind of when it really become a subculture and really become a big thing. Oh, all chaps are assless? Not if you wear something underneath them, sweetie. I'm talking about the ones where they just went bare ass underneath the chaps without any pants. But thank you. Thank you for the clarification, Callie. Yes, you're right. All chaps are assless. But what I was getting at was the bare ass underneath the chaps without any pants. So, these boot blackers, they show their submission and they have a very healthy set of tools that they have. They have the polishes, the brushes, all of the little instruments to get the mud out, little picks, all kinds of different little tools that they have collected to become a good bootblack. And they actually have to apply to become this for a master or a mistress. It's not something that just, okay, I'm just going to start cleaning boots. That's not a, it's almost like an apprenticeship with these cultured fetish BDSM people. Now, I do have some things that I want to read you off of this site because I thought it was really interesting. And I'm also, well, we're going to make it a little bit more visual too. Here you go. This is fun. I like this picture. There he is. And you can tell he is definitely a subby working on his master's boots. But boot blacking isn't just about shining boots. It's an act of service, a ritual of care, and for many, an intimate display of devotion. Whether it is part of a power dynamic or a fetish or a timeless craft, boot blacking combines precision, sensuality, and submission with every stroke of polish, every buff of a cloth, and every deep breath of leather. There is meaning. At its core, boot blacking is about respect, service, and attention to detail. Stroke and polish. Yep. See, it doesn't just apply to a cock mott. You don't just stroke and polish your cock. You can do it to a pair of boots, too. For some, it is a traditional skill, preserving the elegance and lifespan of well-worn leather. For others, it's an intimate ritual of devotion. In this exchange, kneeling before someone's boots and ensuring they glean perfectly is both a display of passion and of a practice of discipline. So this is a very submissive act when you are talking about the actual fetish of boot blacking. But, you know, I honestly believe that it's kind of a submissive trade as well, because most of your shoe shine from back in the day, and even there's even guys that still do the shoe shine, they are more of a submissive role in their trade. So it is a submissive act doing this. Essential tools for boot blacking are polish and conditioners, wax-based polishes for shine, and conditioning cream for hydration makes all the difference. Horsehair brushes. These fanatics about it, these real boot blackers, do not use synthetic brushes. They use the horsehair. Perfect for buffing out excessive polish and brings out the leather's natural luster. Soft cloths and buffing rags. They're used to really get that shine. Dauber brushes or fingers. Now, a true boot blacker does not use a dauber brush. They use their fingers to apply that polish to that leather. No, they do not mess around. And like I said, and the smell of leather, yes. I would think that would be one of the sensory enjoyments of being a boot blacker, is if you love the smell of leather, you're going to be working with it all the time. And, you know, this is not a boot blacker by any means, and it's not a fetish by any means, but it is a trade. There are people that actually condition saddles and all of the harnesses and all of the tack equipment. They're called, I can't remember exactly. I know that they were, where I spend some time up in Wyoming, they're called tack technicians. And they go into a tack room and they make sure that everything is conditioned. And it's, I believe in my heart that they do it because they love the leather. And the love of leather doesn't always have to be sexual. It can be other sensory things that stimulate you. So, the step-by-step process. Prepare the leather. Remove the dirt and dust. That comes where the picks and all the other stuff is. You get all of them, all the external contaminants off of it. Then you apply the polish. nice and slow. Like I said, a good boot blacker does not use a dauber brush, they use their fingers. And I read this earlier. You can tell by the stains around their cuticles if they have been boot blacking for a long time, because eventually those, your fingers will actually stain with that polish. And that is actually considered a rite of passage. When a master sees a potential boot blacker and they see that the first two fingers of their dominant hand is stained with that polish, they know that they are finding somebody that knows what they're doing. Now, also on the flip side of that, there are masters and mistresses that do not want an experienced boot blacker. They want somebody that they can train themselves. And that goes with the punishment part of the BDSM and that power exchange and all of those things. So there's a lot going into this. When Callie first brought this up, I was thinking, well, wow, that seems like it's a very concise, small fetish, and I wasn't sure how to go about tackling it. And then as I got into it and started learning more and more about it, it is a very, very interesting fetish. Now, boot blacking as a fetish. For many, boot blacking is more than care. It is submission and service within a power exchange. The act holds deep meaning. The submissive kneels, blackening, buffing, shining, showing obedience, attention, and devotion. The dominant, meanwhile, receives this service as both respect and worship. And as a mistress, worship is erotic. I don't care if there is any secondary sexual context with it. Just being worshipped, having somebody devote their time and their energies to you is a very, very fulfilling thing. The emotional and psychological connection of boot blacking. There is something undeniably intimate about touching, caring for, and enhancing someone's boots, leathers, and other articles of clothing. It creates a unique exchange, whether in a professional setting or a personal scene. The submissive may feel pride and fulfillment in offering of service while dominating, enjoying the authority and in elegance and cleaning of the boots and the leather. Now, I did a little more digging into that because, you know, I have a psychological thing that I like to do. I'm into that. And this this act of submission is a very, very deep act of submission. When you are willing to get down on your knees and go through all of the steps to do it thoroughly and correctly, that is a very strong act of obedience. I love curious people, and often they're kinky. Yes, curious people seem to be more kinky than those who just go with whatever the standard norms are, Kelly. I agree with that. Now, there's another aspect to this, and that is the sensory fulfillment for the boot blacker. The feel of the leather and their under their touch. The different feels of different leather. There are so many different textures of leather. There's that buttery, soft leather. And then you have that coarse, rough leather. So there's so many different tactile feelings. The sensation of smell. And it's not just the leather. All of the things that you put on the leather have different smells. The different conditioning waxes, beeswax, the polishes. And I did learn this when I was in the Air Force, so don't get lulled into this misconception. Taking a lighter and putting it underneath the polish to melt the polish and then using melted polish, it actually diminishes the ability of the polish to do the job that it was created to do. So don't do that. I learned that in the Air Force. Don't do it. I've seen a lot of people do it, and the quality of the shine is never as good as if you just leave the polish the way it is and do it as it was intended. Just FYI for all those aspiring to be a boot blacker. Because I did read a little bit on that if you vary from the procedures of boot blacking, the punishment can be quite severe. So now we have tactile, sensory, we have smell, and there's a actual sensation of hearing as well. That sound of that brush going across that leather, that's another thing that is a major turn-on for the bootblacker and the master. So there's three different sensories that are hard at work when you're bootblacking. So I learned a lot about the bootblacking, and I really hope that all of you actually took a little bit from this and learned a little bit as well. Now, I am going to move into trichophilia. Does anybody know what trichophilia is? Anybody? I want to sound like Ferris Bueller's teacher. Anybody? 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 Trichophilia is commonly known as hair fetishism. Is a sexual attraction or a strong arousal directed towards human hair. It is classified as a paraphilia, like I was telling you about earlier. Pretty much anything that does not fall under the norm of Puritan fucks is paraphilia. Where individuals experience arousal from seeing, touching, or interacting with hair, including head hair, facial hair, or body hair. We're going to focus more on the head hair tonight. And the sensuality of shampooing another person's hair. Just for you, Potato, this is all your part of the show now. And it is a very erotic. I love it. I love having my hair washed. And the way I've had it washed by men. But I'm going to tell you right up front, the way a woman touches your scalp when she's washing your hair is so... It's so different. Women have a softer touch. We're more sensual. The way we interact is a little bit, it's just more sensual. So I prefer when a woman washes my hair. Although, I have no problem letting a man that I'm taking a shower with wash my hair because I do enjoy that as well. It's just not the same. Potato says, yeah, no, women do it better. Yes, we do. It's just because we have a softer touch, I think, is the biggest part of that. Oh, I love having my hair brushed as well. But that comes after you wash it. Jimmy owns me. And I love brushing another woman's hair. And I love washing another woman's hair. Now, sensory focus. Arousal can come from sight, smell, or feel of the hair. You know that? Does everybody understand that? The feel, the silkiness of that hair. The smell of the different shampoos. The smell of her natural hair or his natural hair might be erotic to you. And we're going to talk mostly about shampooing because that's what Potato asked for. But there is something about running your hand over a bald head, too, that can be very erotic. I like doing that, just so you know. Or very short hair on a man. I like that, too. So, shampooing fetishism is a form of hair fetish or trichophilia or intimate sensual sensory play involving washing, massaging, and grooming another person's hair. It centers on the tactile sensation of intimacy and the care of the experience, often involving long hair suds and scalp stimulation. Kelly says, I once had a play partner who had me brush her hair often. She stepped out and me brush her hair after she stepped out of the shower while I was naked, of course. It was amazing. Sounds like fun. It really does, Kelly. I like that. Okay, now here is another philia that is connected to trichophilia, hair, the fun of playing with hair. I'm going to send it in chat because I know I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of this word. I believe it is albatophilia. Albatophilia is an attraction or fetish that involves experience arousal or sexual excitement from bathing or washing a partner, and that goes for washing their hair as well. So that falls under the shampooing fetish. The kink can manifest itself in many ways, such as enjoying the intimacy of sharing a shower or a bath, the sensuality of soap and other cleansing products on a partner's body or hair, and the nurturing aspect of caring for a partner's cleanliness. And the nurturing aspect becomes a very big part of shampooing. Shampooing is more of a sensual fetish. You will not find this as prevalent in the BDS community where, you know, it is a dramatic power exchange. I am the boss, you will do this. It's not like that. It is more of a enjoy, touch, feel type of thing. It is a almost 100% sensory play. Yes, it is a shared experience. Very good way of putting it, Mott. That is a very good way of putting this. And Potato said earlier, yeah, the suds and the massage are so sensual. Yes, they are. And I think I told Mott this the other day, that I had to go to Bath and Body Works, one of my favorite places in the world. Oh, I love that place, and I spend way too much money when I go there. But I had a friend that's got a birthday coming up just before mine. And I wanted to get her a present, and I had to go through the big fiasco of nothing online worked. So I had to go to the store. And when I went there, of course, I bought several different kinds of hair products that have different scents. Lilac. There's one that's called Touch of Gold. Oh, my God, it just smells so good. But they have so many fragrances, for especially for women. Men can't get away with it quite as much, but you know, there are some really good ones for men. The strawberry shampoo, the apples, a man can wear those and it not be one of those things where he gets judged real bad. And both of those are really, really good scents. Even a cherry. Now, you can't really go too much with the cherry vanilla blossoms and stuff like that. Then it starts getting kind of feminine. But you can experiment with, even with a man, with these different scents. And that scent is a huge part of the experience of shampooing another person's hair or having your hair shampooed. Shopping fetish. I have so many fetishes that I might as well just be a big fat fetish is what I should be. Just this big clump of fetishes. Because I love breaking all of the Puritan fucking rules. I love doing it. I love giving the Puritans a big middle finger, and I'm doing it right now, giving them two of them. Yes, I love fetishes. I love kinks. If you are not experiencing new kinks and trying new things sexually, God, I feel sorry for you. I really do, because you are not living a fulfilled sexual experience. You need to open up your minds. If you are not experiencing new kinks, try them. If you don't like it, don't do it again. But how do you know if you don't like it if you don't try it at least once? Just saying. Now, the other wonderful part of shampooing, I love having my hair done because of the shampooing that goes along with it first. And that the way those fingers get into my hair and just massage my scalp, feeling all them suds trickle down the back of your neck. And that warm water as they rinse them suds out of your hair, knowing that that's just part one. Part two is when they put that conditioner in and it smells just as good. And they really work that into the scalp because that conditioner needs to get in there to really do its job. God, I love that. But I'm going to tell you something I love even more than going to the beauty shop and having my hair washed and my hair done. And that is for one of my lovers or even a sub. I'm going to get into a little bit of fun here with this one because, like I said, I enjoy this. I enjoy this a lot. I have kind of gotten into, and I have to thank Christy. If you all don't know Christy, she is a sweetheart. She's on EE mostly, but she's always on Entrantrix Empire's little community over there, and she is a sweetheart. But she had mentioned a while back going to this actual fetish mistress in person, and they had talked briefly about a Stepford-type sissy? Well, I embraced that. I did. I took it under my wing, and I am all about having me a Stepford sissy. But I'm taking it a bit further than a Stepford sissy. I want them to have that Stepford mindset to where they're all about the servitude to the mistress. And the Stepford sissy would be more geared towards a mistress than towards a master, whereas The Stepford wife was a woman that was devoted to her husband and did whatever the fuck that he told her to do. It was very patriarchal. Well, the Stepford sissy, in my eyes, is very matriarchal. It's more of a woman-geared and guided situation. But anyway, long story short, getting into the point of the what I was getting to, my Stepford sissies are also kind of like back in the turn of the century, back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, the rich women had these chambermaids. Does everybody know what a chambermaid is? I'm going to touch upon it real quick anyway, just in case anybody doesn't. A chambermaid was a female servant that took care of the female mistress of the house, or all of the ladies of the house. Each lady had their own chambermaid. See the maid from Pirates of the Caribbean? There you go. Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. They helped dress the woman. They did all of the woman's laundry. They just basically all of the woman's desires, needs, everything. That's what they did. You could even basically, I can't remember her name. I'm having a brain fart. But the big heavyset lady that took care of Charlotte O'Hara in Gone with the Wind, she could have been considered a chambermaid. She was more of a Mimi more than a chambermaid, but she had the same kind of duties, made sure that Charlotte was beautiful all the time and took care of all of her little needs. So, but anyway, I love the idea of my chambermaid, Stepford Sissy, drawing my bath, getting me all ready for my bath. Then I get in the bath. I don't want them to be in the other room. I want them to come in and sit down next to the bath, next to me, maybe even help bathe me. But more than that, I want to teach them how to sensually wash my hair. How to wash it, how to massage my scalp, how to rinse it gently, get all the suds out, and then put that conditioner in. I spent a lot of money at Bath and Body Works for me not to have a good sissy chambermaid to take care of my hair now, didn't I? Don't you all agree? So, that was me going off on a little bit of a tangent on this, because when Potato suggested shampooing as well, I could not resist, just because it is one of those things I think is an absolute pleasure in life, is to have your hair washed. And I know some guys that are so straight that they are almost homophobic. They say that they like going to a beauty shop because of the way the woman washes their hair before they cut it. They like that. I don't know too many people that don't enjoy that experience. It is a wonderful, just even in a non-sexual way, it is a very erotic experience. So, with all that said, back to the sensory portion of this. This is definitely a sensory fetish. And it has all of them. The sound of the water running. The feel of the water touching your head. The feel of another set of hands touching your hair. The person doing it, the feel of the suds on their fingers as it runs through your hair. The feel of having that soap rinsed out of your hair. Oh, you did? I like that. Potato says, I honestly discovered it through ASMR. So you have all of these fetishes, sensory things going on at the same time. And like I said, I honestly believe that if you can experiment with different, I call them flavors, of shampoos, the different scents, oh, the way that it makes you feel, just having all of those just smells and feelings all mixed together. Oh my God. And does everybody know what ASMR stands for? Well, if not, I'm going to go ahead and give you a definition here. ASMR stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. And basically what that is often the tingly sensation that typically begins on the scalp and moves down the back of the neck and spine. So, anyway, that's what it is. It is a very erotic sensory play. And it can be something as much as just massaging your head and then taking, like a woman taking her fingernails and dragging them very lightly down the back of your neck, down your spine. Ooh, very, very, very fun. So, back to the sensory play, because that's what this is. Don't make any mistake about this. Yeah, having a trichophilia is all about the hair, but it is a sensory fetish. No way around it. And use all of the senses. I'll tell you something else that makes it even more fun is if you're bathing and you're doing it, light some candles. Have the scent of the candles in the room as well. Dim the lights. Even put on some kind of erotic music that you like. I love all music. Don't get me wrong. I make fun of some of the more poppy stuff, but I like most of everything. But when it comes to sex, Evanescence is one of my big ones I love. And I love Yanni. Yanni Live at the Acropolis is one of them. Oh, you can just put that album in and fuck for hours. But anyway, have a little bit of music going. Light. Don't make it overpowering. Have it something to where it's just where you can just hear it in the background. That's part of the sensory play. Have exotic and flowery and wonderfully smelling scents of shampoos and conditioners. But here is the most important part. Oh, Potato. Well, I'm glad that you got to join us for what you did. I am sorry that you're not going to catch the rest of the show. Check out the recording because I will have some more. We're not stopping yet. So just go ahead and check out the last part of it. But I am so glad that you came tonight. I hope that you enjoyed the show. But you have a wonderful night, Potato. So this is the most important part of any kind of fetish that is a sensory fetish. Take your time. Don't get in any big hurry. That is the biggest takeaway on this. Yeah, you can wash somebody's hair in 2 or 3 minutes. Make it last. Make it take some time to where you actually get to experience all those sensory stimulations. This is a very good fetish to switch on. Let them wash your hair and then you wash theirs. Then you get both sides of the sensory play. But take your time. Enjoy it. Make it last. And I promise you, when you get out of the tub, there's going to be enough arousal there that you're going to want to go do other things. So, again, this is just a starting point. I don't know of too many people that actually have orgasms having their hair washed. Now, it could possibly be somebody that has that kind of that thing going on to where they get stimulated just by having their head touched. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying I'm not one of them, and I don't know of too many people that do, but it is wonderful foreplay. It is a great way to move things into a more erotic arena. It is one of those things that, say, your partner is just, kind of in the mood. And she's in the bath doing her thing, you know, just kind of relaxing. Do the little things and set up some candles for her. Draw her bath for her. And then, after she's been in the bath for a little bit, slide in with her. And tell her, let me wash your hair. Let me take care of that. And take your time. Massage her head. Massage her neck, her shoulders. Do it all. And get her out of that frame of mind of, I don't know that I'm in the mood. Because I promise you, if you spend the time and do that, when you start drying her off, and you just put a little kiss right there on the nape of her neck, and you just tell her how beautiful she looks, that mood is going to change rapidly. And it's all because you took the time to enjoy some sensory play that is not always a sexual encounter. But anything that feels good, and that you show the patience, the time, and in some cases the love to help them get to that point, well, it only makes your sexual encounter better. And it makes your sexual relationship better. So, that is about all I have on these two topics for tonight. Does anybody have any questions for me? I hope you enjoyed your portion of the show too, Callie. And I hope I answered some questions about boot blacking, because it was definitely a topic that is not discussed very often. Either is shampooing, and I like that, because we got out of the mainstream and we actually kind of dove deeper into fetishes this week. Oh God, yes, it's part of trichophilia, Mott. Having your hair cut is part of that. It's part of the whole hair fetish thing. Getting it cut can be just as erotic for some people as having it washed, having it brushed. All of that falls into that kink or that fetish. So yes, by all means, getting a haircut can be a kink as well. And it can also be a very traumatic experience for some people that don't like getting their hair cut. So, that goes into the military thing. Nothing funnier than watching the boots come in and going straight to the barbershop and seeing the guys with the longer hair almost cry when those buzz cuts come across the top of their head going, love it, love it, love it. But anyway, yeah, that definitely can be a kink as well, is having your hair cut. And that's why I say there's a lot of straight men that like to go to a beauty shop to have their hair cut because of that more sensual experience. It's not just some guy taking a pair of clippers and cutting their hair. Women take their time. They use scissors more. They will still use the clippers, don't get me wrong, but they use the scissors more. And they're just more dynamic at cutting your hair. So yes, definitely. Callie says, I don't think I ever had a guy cut my hair. Well, you know, back in the day, men went to the barbershop quite often, and that's what there were. There were barbers. And the military, same thing. There are very few lady barbers. So, but anyway, that is definitely part of that mod, and it can be a very enjoyable experience, and that's why a lot of guys do that. So, I hope that we getting into a kink that's a little bit more different was fun for you all tonight. And thank you all for coming to my new platform here on Enchantrix Radio. I do know that Miss K. Marie, sometime before the middle of May, she's going to be coming over here as well. This is going to be her new home as well. And not sure about Constance or Hunter, what they're doing with their shows yet. The best way to find out is tune into their shows as they are right now and ask them the question. Ask them what they're doing. Ask them if they're coming over, what their plans are. That's the best way to find out. But I do know that me and Kay Marie, I was the first one to jump over here. Oh, and I know Harper's coming over. She's a Discord fanatic. She's the one that sets up all of our Discord, so I know she's coming. So you don't have to worry about Harper's show either. It will end up here as well. So that is it. I do have a question for those of you out there. Does anybody have a topic they would like me to discuss next week? Yes, Podbean is, I don't consider it rest in peace. Fuck Podbean. They were more hassle than they were worth. So I am glad to be off Podbean, to be honest. I am happy being here on Discord. It's so much better. And after I figured out how to get my music to play, I am quite content. I like it here. So, but does anybody have any topics they would like me to discuss next week that I can do some research on? Because the following week is going to be a fun night. There's not really going to be a topic. It's just going to be me sharing a bunch of fun shit. That's what it's going to be all about. Sensory deprivation. Oh, I love it. Oh, yes, Callie, I will definitely love to get deeper into. Here's the thing with sensory play. I could do 6 months on sensory play and not cover all of the topics that it would cover. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I've had 4 of these drinks, and they are stout. So bear with me. Come on. I'm not over here, and I'm going to be honest with you. I have partaken in a couple of other fun activities tonight as well. Yes, I got lathered up with my leather. How about that? So, that will be our topic next week, Kelly. It will be sensory deprivation because that enhances the sensory play. And I have done a lot of the deprivation. I love it. Where you take away hearing, take away sight, just the unknown of what's going to happen next. Oh, God, yes. Oh, yes. We'll have a lot of fun with that topic. But like I said, the following week, I want everybody here for the following week because it's just going to be a fun night. It is the night, well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you all. April the 11th is my birthday. I am celebrating my birthday after with a couple of friends, but my big celebration's happening Thursday night. So my birthday is April the 11th, and I have a show, so please join me because we're going to have all kinds of fucking fun, and I'm going to tell all kinds of naughty, nasty stories. That's what that night's going to be. And I might have a few guest mistresses joining me as well. So it's going to be fun. Do not miss that one. Put that on your calendar. But next week, on April the 4th, we will be talking about sensory deprivation to a next level deprivation type of thing. Love you all. Thank you for joining me on my new platform. I found this to be so much easier to keep track of everything that was going on in the chat too. I loved it. I hope that I was interactive enough for you all and answered your questions. Hopefully I didn't miss too many things in chat. Yes. And Kelly, that is exactly right. Taking away senses that you take for granted. And I'm going to take it to another level too. Believe it or not, smell, when you have that taken away from you as well, other things change. The other senses try to adapt for it, but your olfactory sense dictates a lot of your other senses as well. We'll get into that next week, I promise you, and it will be a lot of fun. Thank you for listening to Kinks and Drinks. You can find us live every Saturday night right here on the Enchantrix Radio. But you must be 21 or older to partake. Listen to the replay every Sunday on your favorite podcast platform or on my site, phonesexfetishblog.com, under the Kinks and Drinks tab. That should be your preferred place to go look and find my podcast, because I do transcripts, and I make little links and everything for you to go check out. It's just a better place, because the other place, all you get to do is hear the recording. You don't get to see the links. You don't get to see the transcripts. You don't get any of that good stuff. So definitely. And you never know when I'm going to drop a new blog. So you're already there and you can check out my new blog, which will be dropping tomorrow afternoon. So check it out. You will have fun. Love you all. Have a wonderful night. And until next week, y'all stay safe.